The rich don't work harder than you. They just use money differently. Now, most people invest once, but the 1%, they use the same dollar 3, 5, and even 10 times without working more. I know because I've been on both sides. I built multiple businesses, sold them, and put everything into real estate at 28 years old thinking I was set for life. But when the 2008 Great Financial Crash happened, I lost almost everything. That's when I learned the hard way how the wealthy actually use money. And once I applied their strategies, my wealth grew 5 times, even 10 times faster. So today, I want to show you exactly how they do it so you can start stacking your wealth just like the top 1%. I'm going to break down the math. I'm going to show you real world examples that you could do this year to make 500% more on your money with just 3 simple moves. And by the end, you're going to see exactly why most people stay broke while the top 1% keep getting richer. Now, this is not about working harder. It's about using your money differently. But before I show you the system, you need to understand the 3 money mindsets, because if you don't get this part right, you'll never build lasting wealth. So let's go. Okay, most people follow the same broken formula for money because we've all been taught the same wrong things. You know, go to school, get a good job, save for retirement, you know, for 40 years, and then hope that there's enough money to retire one day. Well, unfortunately, we can see that this doesn't work, because today, half of the baby boomers that are facing retirement have no savings. And of those that do, the average balance is just about $100,000. Now, $100,000 is not going to be enough to retire. The problem, that's not how the 1% build wealth. The traditional model tells you, you know, to work hard, save money, invest in your 401k, you know, invest in your house, which sounds smart, right? That's what Dave Ramsey tells us. But here's the problem. Your money only does one job. You put a dollar into the stock market, it's locked up. You buy real estate, the money is tied down until you sell the house. But the rich, they don't let their money sit. They put it to work in multiple places at the same time. That's why they get rich faster and they stay rich longer. Now, if you're only using your money once, you're already going to be behind. It's why most people spend their entire lives working only to end up broke anyway. Now, let me show you why that happens and how the 1% do it differently. Okay, so here's what most people don't realize. It's not how much money you make that matters. It's how you use the money. Now, you can make $10 an hour, you can make $10,000 an hour. And if you have the wrong money mindset, you're still going to end up broke. Because at the end of the day, there are really just 3 types of people, and only one of them builds lasting wealth. Now, the first group is the poor mindset group. And they see money as something that they need just to survive, right? They work, they get paid, and then every dollar they make just disappears immediately, and that's just to cover their rent, their food, and their basic expenses. And then the way they use credits differently, because when they don't make enough money, then they rely on credit just to survive. Now, the problem with this is it creates a permanent cycle, because every month they're starting at zero, or worse, they're falling further into debt. Now, this isn't an income problem. It's a money mindset problem, because even if they suddenly make more money, they'd still be in the same trap, spending every dollar as soon as they get it. Now, the second group, this is what I call the middle class mindset, and it's different, all right? But it's just as dangerous. Now, they don't think about wealth, they think about comfort. And here's why this is dangerous. No matter how much they make, they're still stuck, because every time their income increases, their spending increases with it. This is why 60% of those making a $100,000 salary report still living paycheck to paycheck. They look rich, but they have no real wealth. All right, now the way they use credit is also different as well. So they use credit to increase their lifestyle, buy the bigger houses, buy the bigger cars. All right, now that we understand that, let's talk about the third group. All right, this is the wealthy mindset. Now, these are the people who actually build wealth instead of just looking like they have it. The biggest difference, they don't work for money. They make their money work for them. So how do they do that? Well, they don't make money to pay for their living expenses. Instead, they make money to pay for assets. And they use the assets to then pay for their life. right? So it's a different way to do that. Now, what happens is these assets appreciate over time and they can be leveraged into more wealth and allows those investments to pay for their lifestyle. And the way they use credit is completely different as well. They don't use credit because they don't have the money or they can't afford things. They use credit because it's cheaper to use somebody else's money than it is their own. Now, you can see that the way that they use money and the way they think about money and the way they use credit is completely different, which is why they end up in a different place. Now, I tell you all this because if you want to build wealth in layers like the 1%, then you have to understand one thing, because we're going to be using debt. We're going to be using leverage to build wealth. And that means that you have to have the right mindset. If you're still thinking about credit the way a poor or middle class mindset does, as something, you know, to avoid, then you're never going to be able to use money the way the wealthy do. But if you start thinking like an investor, if you start seeing credit as a tool, not a trap, then you'll finally be able to unlock the true power of wealth building. All right. Now, let me tell you how I learned this the hard way first, and then I'm going to break down the math. All right. Now, I had to learn this the hard way, and I don't want you to, because I didn't always understand this. In fact, I learned the really hard way. Now, back in 2008, I thought I had it all figured out. I'd built up a couple businesses. I had sold a couple businesses. I made a lot of money. I had just turned 28 years old. I thought I was set for life. So I did what I thought the wealthy did, right? I took all the money and I poured it all into real estate. Now, I was in Southern California. I was fully invested into the market and I thought I was pretty smart. I had like a 65% loan to value ratio, which I thought was pretty safe. I had the properties, I had the leverage, I had the plan, and then the market collapsed. It's what Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face, and I got punched in the face overnight. My property values collapsed. I had a few big developments that were going on at the time. I was trying to sell those and they fell through. And I had mortgages to pay, but here's the real kicker, I had sold my businesses. So I had no active income. So that same leverage that had made me feel rich was now squashing me. Now I remember sitting there, I remember staring at my numbers, realizing I can't afford this, but I was stuck. I had tens of millions of dollars of real estate, but I was broke. Everything I had worked for was slipping away, and it took years to unwind everything, to get everything dealt with the banks, and then I swore that I would never touch credit again. And maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years, I did everything in cash. I refused to borrow. I told myself, you know, leverage is too risky. And for a while, it felt safe, right? But here's what I didn't realize at the time. I wasn't actually building wealth. I was just avoiding risk. Now, my business, luckily, was making plenty of money, but I was still stuck in that scarcity mindset. So instead of making my money work for me, I was playing defense. But then one day, as I was always invested into my own education, I joined a high-level mastermind group. I met someone who completely changed the way that I thought about money. And he showed me how the wealthy actually use leverage. And that's when I saw it. I'd been doing it all wrong. I had thought about it all wrong. See, I wasn't supposed to take on debt to buy assets. I needed to structure my wealth in layers. I needed to build cash flow. I needed to learn how to leverage it correctly. And then I had to learn how to make every dollar do multiple jobs. Now, look, I don't look back with any regrets of that today, all right? Because I believe that, unfortunately, we only learn from our defeats and our mistakes. And it's because of that experience, the pain of 2008, the crash, that's why I make these videos today. Now, during that time, I vowed to myself, I vowed to my wife, that we are never going to get caught offsides again. So I spent the next decade studying financial system, macroeconomics, and how the wealthy actually build and protect their wealth. I invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into my own education, my mentors, the masterminds, because I was never going to let that happen to us again. And that's why I started making these videos, to help you learn from my mistakes and avoid the same pain I went through. So now, let me show you what I learned and how you can structure your wealth just like the 1%, all right? So you know why the traditional system is broken, you know why most people stay stuck, and you know the wealthy use money differently. So let me show you exactly how they do it. Now remember we talked about the wealthy mindset and how they use their income to buy assets and then they leverage credit strategically instead of fearing it, right? Now that's important because this entire system that we're gonna break down is built on that mindset. So if you think about credit like the poor or the middle class does, as something to avoid, then you're never going to be able to build wealth the way the 1% do. But when you learn to control leverage, every dollar you earn can do multiple jobs like the wealthy. And here's how they do it. They don't just invest randomly. Again, they build it in layers by stacking assets strategically so their money moves, it multiplies, and it never sits idle. Now, before I break all this down, understand this. This is not a one-size-fits-all system, all right? You don't need to use every single layer right away. Some of you might already have, you know, one or two of these in place. Others might be starting, you know, completely from scratch. Some of you may not even like the layers I suggest, and you can make your own. But the goal here is simple. Make every dollar work multiple times in different ways, all right? So these are the layers that I personally use and I recommend. But again, don't use these, use whatever, mix and match them however you want. But this is what I do, okay? So we start number one with layer number one, which is the foundation, which is liquidity. Now, this is where most people get stuck. They don't have a system for stacking their money, right? That's actually why I built the Wealth Engine Assessment, to help you see exactly how many jobs your dollars are doing and where you can optimize. Because if your money is only doing one job, right now, you're already behind. Now, if you want this wealth assessment, you can grab it for free. I'll put a link down in the description down below. Just use it, do a test. It'll show you exactly how to map this out. But let me show you how I do this. Let's start with the base layer. So for me, layer number one is life insurance. So let me just go ahead and lay that out here. Now, the first thing the wealthy do differently is they don't keep cash in a bank. Why? Because it does two things your bank never will. First, it compounds tax-free over time. Second, you can borrow against it without stopping the growth. Now, most people don't realize this, but when you put money in a bank, the bank immediately lends it out to make money off of you. Meanwhile, they pay you almost nothing. But the wealthy, of course, they flip the script and they store their cash in a properly structured life insurance policy where it earns interest and they can borrow against it. Now, let me give you an example of how the 1% do this. So let's say that you have this life insurance policy and you put, let's say, $100,000 into this account, okay? That's a high cash value life insurance, and it's, let's say it's compounding at 5% per year. So I'm going to put it in there, and they're going to pay me 5% a year. Now, it's compounded at 5% a year, and that is tax-free. All right. Now, then what can happen is I can borrow. I can take that $100,000 out, and I would borrow, and I would pay 5% to borrow it. Now, you might go, wait a minute, if I borrow, if I'm earning 5%, but then I borrow at 5%, like, isn't that a wash? Well, no, not even close. Because let's say I borrowed this for a car, $100,000 car. So let's say over a 6-year loan, let's say times 6 years or 72 months, let's say. Well, let's do the math and see what actually happens. During this time, what I would pay interest, this 5% on the $100,000, is about $15,955. So let's call it $16,000, all right? But during that same time period, this earning 5% compounding on the $100,000 is $34,009. So you can see that's quite a bit difference. As a matter of fact, the difference is, my positive difference here is about $18,000 that I'm making positive during this time, even though I'm earning 5% and I'm borrowing 5%. And the reason why is because of the law of compounding. So the $100,000 is compounding every year while the loan is getting paid down. And while that sounds cool, that's not even the crazy part yet, right? If you had this extra $18,000 now over the life of the loan, and you put it into an account and it continues to compound at 5%, let's say over 20 years, that turns into some real money. As a matter of fact, that turns into $47,902, almost $50,000, which is more than some people save. As a matter of fact, as I said, most baby boomers today don't even have any money saved. And you can do that just by one simple trick of putting the money in first, taking it back out, buying whatever you were going to buy. That alone could get you $50,000. Now, what would you do with this money? Well, you can do all types of things. You could invest it into real estate. You could invest it into Bitcoin. You could invest it into businesses or whatever. We're going to talk about how you can layer that next. Okay, so now that we've got layer one taken care of, and now that we have liquidity, let's talk about the next wealth layer. And for me, that's real estate. So let's go ahead and put that out here. So now we have layer two, real estate. And let's break down the math of how this works for a second, because most people don't understand this. Now, of course, the wealthy love real estate, but it's not for the reasons that most people think. They don't just buy houses. They use real estate as a financial tool to build wealth through leverage and, most importantly, tax efficiency. Now, why is real estate so powerful? Because it builds wealth in multiple ways at once. So the first way is we get cash flow. So we buy the piece of real estate and it generates cash flow, rental income. Number two, we get the appreciation. So the property is going to go up over a long period of time. Number three, we get leverage. We get loan leverage. So we can buy a property for 10% down or 20% down. But my favorite one, the wealthy's favorite one, most people don't even think about, they don't even understand, is the tax advantages, the depreciation, it's the write-offs. This is why the wealthy get richer, because their money is working in multiple ways at the same time. And this is where leverage becomes a game changer, because this is where the layered stacking begins. So let me give you an example of how the wealthy use leverage in real estate. So let's break it down. Okay, so we first started with $100,000 in layer one, and we put that into our high cash value life insurance policy, right? And we're getting compounded at 5%. Then we take that $100,000 back out. We don't let it sit there. We borrow against it and we use that money now, let's say the $100,000, as a down payment on $500,000 worth of real estate. So that's $200,000. So we take the $100K that we got from our life insurance and we put it into an apartment complex or a series of houses or whatever worth about $500K, let's say, right? That's 20% down. All right, so now we have the money doing two jobs. One job over here in life insurance, the second job over here in real estate. That's pretty good, right? This is the first $100,000. Now, over here in life insurance, layer one, it's still compounding, right? So just during the time of this, let's call it 20 years, during the life of this, that money compounding is gonna add 47K right here, just because I left it there in the meantime while I have also have the house. Now think about that, 47K on my 100,000, that's almost a 50% return right there just by having to do the second job. All right, second, over here, we have this $500,000 property and the tenants are paying down the real estate loan for me. And it's giving me cash flow, it's giving me equity growth at the same time. Also, the property is going up in time. Now, we don't always plan for appreciation, but of course it's going to appreciate. Let's call it super conservative. Let's say it's going up at 3% a year, okay? So 3% a year, what happens is now at 500,000, let's say times the 3%, over the 20 years means that this property is now worth $903,000. That means that if we take the new value, 900,000 divided by the 500,000, means my equity is now $403,000 on the original 100,000 I put in. That means I've now made a 400% ROI. So over here, my $100,000 is sitting here and I've earned 47,000 over here. That's about a 50% return. And then I took that $100,000, put it over here into this $500,000 property, growing it 3%, and it's made me a 400% ROI, not to mention the cash flow that I've made over time, not to mention the equity that I've gained over all time, but we are still not done. Because not on top of all this, you also get up to $500,000 in tax write-offs, even against W-2 income if you structure this correctly. So let's say that you're a 35% tax bracket. That's about another $175,000 of tax savings that you get. So let me total all this up for you. Let's think about this real quickly. Okay, so let's total this up so we can compare. Let's compare two different people. So person one over here has their $100,000, all right? Person two over here has $100,000, okay? Now, over here, person one saves the $100,000, all right? Over here, person two stacks. So let's just put that here. Person one saves, person two stacks. Now, option one, I leave the $100,000 in savings. The final balance times, let's say, 20 years, is earning at 0.5% interest, ends up with about $110,000. Good job. So we went from 10,000 to 110,000. So we made about 10K over 20 years. Okay. Option number two over here. Option number two does something a little bit different. Number one, they stack their wealth in layers. So they first put the $100,000 into a life insurance policy. Number one. Then That right there makes them about 47K. Number two, they take that same 100,000 and put it down into $500,000 of real estate, okay? And then with the appreciation, they get about 400K from that, all right? Then they get the tax savings and the write-off. So let's just say at a 35% tax rate, they're gonna get another 175,000 in tax breaks right there. So we'll add that up here, $175,000. So now the total wealth created here is $612,000. So person one saved the money, they made 10,000. Person two, same money, the same dollar, the same 100,000, ended up $612,000. It's a pretty big difference. This is why wealth isn't built by working harder. It's built by using money the right way. And we're still not even done. All right, that's only two layers. Imagine three layers, five layers, imagine 10 layers. All right, next, let's add another layer. I'll show you what I like to do. Now, what's your best move from here? Where should you be stacking if you don't like these? Well, that's exactly what the Wealth Engine assessment that I put together is for. It helps you figure all this out. So you're not just guessing your way through wealth building. So go ahead and grab the Wealth Engine assessment for free. There's a link in the description right now. It's gonna show you where you're at today. It's gonna show you how fast you can hit your financial freedom number. All right, but now that we've stacked our whole life insurance policy, and we've now stacked it into layer two, which is real estate, let's take it to the next level. Let's take it to level three, which for me, that's Bitcoin. All right. Now, most people buy Bitcoin the wrong way. They treat it like a lottery ticket. They, hope that the price is going to go up so they can cash out for a quick profit. The wealthy, they don't sell Bitcoin. They hold it, and they hold it forever, because just like real estate and life insurance, it's not the asset, it's also a financial tool. Now, why is Bitcoin so powerful in this way? Well, one, Bitcoin is a scarce asset, right? There's only 21 million that's ever gonna exist. Number two, it's a high growth investment. Bitcoin's outperformed every other asset class over the last decade. Three, it's easily something that you can just borrow against, right? You can take a low interest Bitcoin-backed loan without selling your Bitcoin. And this is exactly how the wealthy multiply their wealth with Bitcoin. Okay, so here's how we keep stacking our wealth layers. All right, so let's go back to the stacked example. Okay, so number one over here, we had the life insurance, right, with 100K in it. Level two, we had real estate, right? And now we have about 500K in real estate here. All right, and then level three, we're gonna put some Bitcoin here. Bitcoin right there. All right, now remember, we started with 100K in the whole life insurance. Right? We borrowed against that to get the 500K in real estate. Now remember, as that grew, as it appreciated, it gave us 400,000 in equity. It gave us 175,000 in tax depreciation and write-offs, meaning that we earned more income to invest into Bitcoin. If you don't have to pay tax on your income because you have write-offs, that gives you more money to invest into Bitcoin, right? So instead of spending that 175, we can invest that 175 in tax savings into Bitcoin. Now let's say that Bitcoin goes up by 25% a year for the next 20 years. Now that number is half of its most recent like 5-year average. So it's half of that. So I'm trying to be conservative here. So let's say that it goes up, that 175 goes up at 25% a year for the next 20 years times 20 years. That number, ready for it, is gonna be 15.18 million. All right, now we can borrow against that. So let's say that I borrow at a 50% loan to value, which means I can pull out about 7.5 million. And total interest paid on the loans, let's say that's at 10% interest per year. So that's about 1.5 million in an interest that I'm gonna have to pay. Now, that's even after borrowing against it, the Bitcoin is still growing exponentially versus if I had sold it, all right? So now instead of just holding Bitcoin, we take the borrowed money, the 7.5, and we reinvest that over again. So we can go to a fourth layer. Where do we go? Well, we can go into real estate, and that gives us more tax write-offs, so we don't have to pay any more taxes. We can invest it into businesses. We can invest it even into more Bitcoin, okay? This is how the wealthy play the game. They layer the assets, it compounds the wealth, they write off their taxes so they keep more money, and they keep that money in motion. Now, you can see how powerful this is, right? And we've only stacked three layers so far. But the real secret, the wealthy don't just do this once. They do it over and over again with all different types of assets. Now, in 5 years, that same dollar could be doing 5 jobs easy, 10 jobs, even 15 jobs, each one compounding your wealth faster and faster. I mean, this is the real money game here. You keep stacking, you keep multiplying, and then you just watch how fast you can escape the rat race. And once you've got the system running, the next wealth layer is business ownership, because now you're in a position to create a high cash flow business that keeps feeding this system so you never run out of capital to invest. All right. Now, again, that's why I created the Wealth Engine Assessment, to find out what's your number. Now, it's a free tool that can help you measure your wealth building potential, see how fast you can hit that financial freedom number. And it's going to calculate where you're at today, what layers you need to add next. It's going to give you a clear path to start tracking assets and multiplying your money. And it includes a free training video where I'm going to break it all down step by step by step. Okay. Like I said, you can grab it all for free. There's a link in the description down below. But remember, wealth isn't just about how much you make. It's about how many jobs your money is doing for you. So start stacking, keep compounding, and I'll see you inside the training.